glory to God. Aren't you glad he's God and he has not changed? His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get the show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement, Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Groover takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No. Nope.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, KATIE, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, Six, and little old me.
Ooh, Brother Six is on the line tonight, too. All right, so let's see how Six is doing first. How you doing tonight, Six? You got your coffee? Must have not got his coffee.
Maybe he needs a bigger cup. You know, sometimes it helps you keep awake. You know, it's a stimulant.
No coffee tonight. I'll be drinking some tomorrow.
Ah, so there he is. How you doing tonight, Six?
I'm good. How's everybody?
Doing great.
Good, good, good.
Yep. So far, you as of last week, you were 9-for-2. We're going to find out tonight if you make 10-for-2 on
right.
You doing the song and poem. See if you can keep the momentum going that you've been doing, getting the correct buzzer. We're going to see how that goes tonight. So we're going to see how that goes.
Let's see
and,
how it goes.
Right. And if you want to say hi to Emily, she's right there. Emily, how are you doing tonight?
Trying to be good.
Hello, Emily.
Hello, Bubba.
Hello, hello, hello to beautiful mama. Hello.
Yeah, well, we know Emily had a bad day today, lost some money, but at least she can sit back, relax, and enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network without having that big problem on her mind. She could sit back and enjoy a good program. Amen?
And look at it like this, Emily. Even though you lost it, God's going to bless you with more, and maybe the person that lost it needed it at that, you know, the person that found it needed it at that time. So you might have fed a family that was starving, you know, so look at it like that.
Yeah, true. Oh, and I was told to tell you hello, Six.
Hello.
You know who
all
that
right.
come from, don't you?
Beautiful mama.
Oh, yeah, and she said if I don't be good, she's going to send me up there to you and Princess.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We got
I said, because I said, because Mama Six is up there, and I get too funny, I'd really be in hot water then.
Right.
Okay. Well, as we do with every Friday night show, as we after we get done saying our highs and all that kind of thing, I kind of give an outline of where our show is going tonight. And tonight what we're going to be doing is we're still studying on alcohol and drinking. And specifically tonight, we'll be still talking about the evils of drinking. Part 4 is our subheading. And in the midst of that, as we've already discussed, we're going to see if 6 can continue the momentum. He's already 9-2. Can he make it 10-2 tonight? And then, but if he doesn't, there may be a chance with the bad buzzer. He may choose to use some sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD and other disorders, so just beware of that. And then after that, and we finish out with the evils of drinking tonight, then Ruth goes into her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
God's arch enemy, and I think you already know who that is the devil.
Ooh, we get to learn about that. That sounds like a real good one tonight. God's arch enemy sounds like a good one, so you'll want to stay tuned for that, hear all about that. And then after that, we have our open mic session after that, which, of course, is based purely upon opinion. There's no such thing as a right answer or wrong answer when we ask our question of the day and have our open mic time at the end of the program for you, our listeners, because you do matter. And then after that, we're going to close with a word of prayer and our final closing with the Red Sylvine song of the day. So, is everybody ready for a good program?
Yeah, hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
Also, going to ask you to be keeping both Dad and Aunt Heidi in prayer because I don't think either one have been feeling too kosher.
Well, first off, if they felt kosher, they'd have to be Jewish. And secondly, I didn't know you could feel kosher. I thought you had to be kosher.
All right, Mr. Comedian.
I thought kosher was a type of food, not something that you could feel.
Oh.
So, I thought kosher was a type of cooking. I didn't know it was something you could feel.
You know, honey, you could make some money. You're fine.
All right. Anyway, so we'll do that. And anyway, he couldn't be kosher.
Nursing home, too.
All right. And Emily, tell him he couldn't be kosher anyway. He's a pork chop.
Oh, you mean a pork chop at a kosher wedding. You're talking about that cute little joke you always
make. Yeah, because pork chops aren't kosher. They're not kosher, so he couldn't be he's a pork chop.
Now, you guys need Tim Gruber on this because he's also Jewish like you are. So, and I think Emily is too, so you guys could really go.
All right.
Yeah.
Everybody,
let's
are we ready for the
show, guys. Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, so everybody get your pad, your pencil, your quick note, your brailler, in the case of 6, and let's get down to it, write out our notes as we get into this on alcohol and drinking, and then, of course, God's arch enemy as we get into the program tonight. Here we go.
And I vote for 6.
For those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, be able to press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments. Your content too, but ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your personal views on drinking? What is your personal views on drinking? We've been talking a lot so far about the evils of drinking. We've talked about those who did drink in the Bible, those who did not drink in the Bible so far. So it should give you a little better view of what God's Word has to say about drinking. So what is your personal views on drinking so far as to what God's Word says? So what is your personal views on drinking is our question of the day. Amen. But right now we're going to get into our topic of alcohol and drinking. In specific, the evils of drinking. This is part four, evils of drinking, part four. And our first scripture context is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 51. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 51. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now, of course, as Ruth will tell you, this is a prophecy of the second coming, and it's talking about those who basically were expected to be looking for Jesus' second coming, but obviously they were not even right with God in the first place, because what did they do? They were not watching for the second coming, and they were just living a life of debauchery, drunkenness, etc. And when God finally showed up on the scene, he says, send them out into everlasting destruction. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Basically, they're going to go to hell because they did not listen and they did not watch. So the evils of drinking there is, they put God on the back burner once again because they were not willing to watch and wait for the Lord's coming. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 48. Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 48. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
Here we find in a parallel passage the same thing. And it also goes on to say that the servant will be beaten with many stripes because he wasn't watching as he was supposed to do. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Romans chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. Romans chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak.
Here we're told that it's good if you don't drink wine or eat, talking about to idols, because if you do, you'll cause your brother to stumble and end up going the wrong way. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Now, notice here the key in this set of text. He says, if a brother is a drunkard, you're to judge them and not to eat with them. Or if they're an idolater, etc., you're not to eat with them. Biblical shunning. Now, I didn't say if the person drinks. There's a big difference. Didn't say if the person drinks wine, you're to shun them. He said if they be a drunkard. A big difference here. We need to keep that within the context. He said if they be a drunkard. So let's keep that in context, you abstinence people. It says, if he be a drunkard, then you judge them and you do biblical shunning and not eat with them. Didn't say you don't talk to them. It says you don't eat with them. All right. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 to 13. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
And we find here, he talks about not all things being expedient, but sometimes people do them anyway. Why? Because they're living in sin, and they're not right with God, and he talks about certain things that will not go into the kingdom of God. And one of those things is drunkards. Not those who drink, but those that are drunkards. Why? Because when they're drunk, they put to the side, on the back burner, God. Amen. All right, in our last scripture context, before Six has to guess our message in song and poem, and he's so far 9 for 2, so we're going to see if he does any better and continues his run of getting the good buzzer. And our last scripture context is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20 to 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 to 22. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not.
And we find here, this is talking about the Lord's Supper and the instruction given by Paul as to what was supposed to be done. And what was happening were people were coming to have the Lord's Supper, and some were getting drunk. Yes, that evil was going on. They were getting drunk before they were having the Lord's Supper. Some were eating and overindulging in that too. Gluttony. Some were being gluttonous. Some were being drunkards. And Paul said, that ain't right. Said, hey, if you want to do that, do it at home. If you want to live in sin, do it at home and quit coming to the church and doing it here, because that's not the right place to do it. But basically, it ain't the right place to do it at all, is what he was saying. Because he says, do I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Amen. So what did we find so far? Well, you don't want to put God on the back burner. Because drunkenness, that's exactly what happens. We also find that those who are drunken are not watching for the Lord's coming. And they'll be judged. We find a lot of scriptures here that show God's judgment on those who are drinking. Amen. All right. Now it is that time, as we said just before the scripture, last scripture there, 6 is 9 for 2. Can he continue? The last six times he's had the good buzzer. Can he continue his run with the good buzzer as we prepare to go into and turn the mic over to 6 as he tries to tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Ha-ha! Put on your seatbelts, everybody. Put on your food belts.
Filling and everyone swilling down eggnog and beer. It's the most fascinating time of the year. It's the lip smacking a season of all. While you're shopping, you're cheating, impulsively eating that junk at the mall. And giblets and gravy will flow. There'll be cookies that Mom baked and a leftover fruit cake from a Christmas a long time ago. It's the scale flattening time of the year. While your diet you're blowing, there's calories going straight down to your rear. It's the scale flattening time.
Portions and make ribbons instead of fudge. You can do it. Please try.
It's too cold to go jogging, too brisk for tobogganing, so pass me a hot buttered roll.
Don't you dare touch
and chocolate Kris Kringles will tremble in fear. It's the most fattening time. It's a bell-blue-fattening time. It's the most fattening time of the year.
Lord of all pots and pans and things, since I've not time to be a saint by doing lovely things or watching late with thee or dreaming in the dawn light or storming heaven's gates, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. Although I must have Martha's hands, I have a merry mind. And when I black the boots and shoes, thy sandals, Lord, I find. I think of how they trod the earth what time I scrubbed the floor. Accept this meditation, Lord. I haven't time for more. Warm all the kitchen with thy love and light it with thy peace. Forgive me all my worrying and make my grumbling cease. Thou who didst love to give men food in womb or by the sea, accept this service that I do it unto thee.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
All right, I believe the common message of that is labor of love, food, if you don't eat, you don't live, and enjoy, eat without guilt. That's what I think it is. Labor of love, if you don't eat, you don't live, and eat with no guilt. That's what I think it is.
Well, in this case, you're 100% correct. Food should be a labor of love and be without guilt because you don't want to overeat, as the song says. It should be without guilt. Amen.
Yeah! I want to thank you all for enjoying great radio, the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hey, tell a friend. You can check us out on Apple Music. Just type in Six Eyes Radio, or you can put the number in your phone, 424-243-9617, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right, and with that, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found here only at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And a little station ID as well. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
keep your hands on the wheel
and your eyes on the road. And we support this program
here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And hallelujah, we're back, and it's that time for those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, to be reminded that you can press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your personal views on drinking? Now, this is, of course, considering everything you've learned thus far, what we've been discussing on drinking from the scriptures. You may have changed your mind on some things that you've learned. You may have learned something new and decided to change your views on drinking. So what is your personal views on drinking? Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Now, you notice there's a key verse in this text. And you abstinence folks, use this verse to say, well, you didn't drink at all. But did you read it correctly? Well, let's read it. Read it for what it says, not for what you want it to say, but for what it actually says. Don't stop at the first few words. Be not drunk. And then say, well, that's the whole verse. Be not drunk with wine. And stop right there. There's more to the verse. It says, be not drunk with wine. Here's the key. Where there is excess. The key is where there is excess. The key is where there is excess. The two key words in this verse is drunk and excess. Do you see them? Drunk and excess. Drunk and excess. Be temperate in all things. You can't be temperate in all things when you're drunk and you have excess. Too much. Someone who drinks a little shot glass of wine is not likely to have enough alcohol in his system to have excess. Let's use your head. Someone who only puts a quarter cup of wine into his system per day is not likely to have excess. But a person who puts a gallon per day is likely to have excess. There's the difference. Drunk and excess are the key words in this verse. And as long as we keep that in mind, we then can get the text in our mind and in our hearts, that God doesn't want us to be
drunk where there's excess, overdoing it. He didn't say not to have wine or a strong drink. What he told us was he didn't want us to overdo. And he made it very plain where the problem was. Excess and being drunk. That's the problem. Amen. All right, enough for that preaching. And we'll go into our next scripture context. We're found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
And here we find that those who are drunk are usually drunk in the night, as the scripture says. And tell me if that ain't true. 90% of those who get drunk go to the bar, and it's at night. Rarely do you find someone drunk during the morning hours. Not unless he's a compulsive alcoholic and drinks 24/7. But most of the time, those who get drunk, they do it at night. Amen. And that's another evil of drinking. They spend their days doing whatever, but they do it at night and they get drunk. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Titus chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. Titus chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
Here we find Paul admonishing Titus about what a bishop or pastor or elder is supposed to be, and one of those things is not given to wine, meaning getting drunk. Can you imagine going around a preacher who's drunk?
This is what the scripture has to say, man.
You wouldn't understand him. Not given to wine. Not a striker. Well, he'd be a striker or a person abusive if he was given to wine. That's some of the evils of drinking. He's violent. So, not given to wine. Amen. Now, our next scripture context is found in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. All right, Ruthie, get a good sweet coffee and take us there.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.
Now, do you notice here? In each case, each group was told to be sober. Didn't say not to drink alcohol. Said just to be sober. A little shot glass, which only holds the equivalent of a couple of tablespoons of alcohol, is not likely to make you unsober. If you only drank that much per day, you're not likely to become unsober and become drunken. The scripture says that we're not to be drunk where there's excess, as we pointed out earlier. But we're to be sober so the word of God not be blasphemed. Why? Because that's another evil of drinking. We blaspheme the word of God. But some do go the opposite way and have too much. Amen. All right, and our last scripture context of the day is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ricky, take us there.
For as much, then, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?
And here we find that they talk evil of you if you don't run to the same thing of riots as they do. Why? Because it says that you chase after wine, etc., when you were, before you were saved. But he says you're not supposed to when you become Christ's, because you're supposed to be living not in sin. So chasing after wine and becoming drunken is wrong, and it's sinful to be drunken. Amen. So what have we learned? We learned basically, and our key tonight is be not drunk with wine where there is excess. And basically, in short, you put God on a back burner, and that God will judge those who become drunken. Amen. But want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your personal views on drinking, especially after all things we've been discussing so far with the scriptures, etc.? You may have either changed your views, what you've learned, or you may have entrenched your views further. We want to know what your personal views are on drinking. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear about the station ID, things that are going on here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, and a few other announcements. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2. F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now. Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
God's arch enemy. The world is in a terrific situation. Here in America, statistics show illegitimacy has increased 300%. Pornography has become a billion-dollar-a-year business. venereal disease has increased 72% in 1 year. Our crime bill is $30 billion a year, and crime is increasing 4 times faster than our population. Juvenile crime is increasing 5 times faster. For every $1 we spend on churches, we spend $12,000 on crime, and the divorce rate is now 1 in 3. Our nation has 20 million scholars, or no, have 20 million alcoholics, and 3.5 problem drinkers. Combine all the churches, all the synagogues, all the temples. They're outnumbered by taverns by 175,000. Combine all the money spent on religion, education, medicine, and automobiles, and what is given to gamblers is more than all the others put together. There must be an intelligent reason why such an alarming condition would exist in so-called Christian nations. Well, why do we have this situation existing in the world? Well, there is a valid reason, and it's found in the sinister personality of Satan, the jerk. Anyway, Satan knows the end of man's day is in sight, and he's endeavoring to take the world by force. Satan is stopping at nothing to get mankind in his vice-like grip. His no-down payment and easy terms are getting multiplied millions to walk the broad road that leads to hell. We who have been watching the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and studying the signs of our times have suddenly been made aware of the fact that we're living in the end of man's day. The close of the church age is almost upon us. We realize that current world conditions cannot go on as they are much longer. They are like a festering sore. Eventually, this swollen sore begins to gather foreign matter and must be lanced. We see a tremendous political, social, and economical sore on American society, as well as a worldwide society. It's imperative that it be a stopping place somewhere. This moral crisis will eventually end by Jesus Christ coming back to the earth, judging the nations of the world, and establishing a universal government, at which time he will become the universal head or the king. Then the appalling statistics which you have just read will gradually disappear. Righteousness shall prevail. In the meantime, Satan knows he hath but a short time. He realizes his time is running out, and he's endeavoring to complete the solution people. The results of his cunningness can be seen on every hand. People are blinded as they've never been before. Satan is confusing the people and endeavoring to lead them astray so that eventually he will have more on his side than Jesus Christ will have on his. There's a better war going on. It's a tremendous spiritual war in being fought. It's God against Satan. It's Christ against Antichrist. It's the forces of evil opposing the forces of good. Who's God's arch enemy? Why has all of this come about? In the book of Ezekiel, we find that Lucifer started the whole affair. Here's the scripture. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. But the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Ezekiel 28:14-17 in your King James Version Bible. This anointed, beautiful, perfect, shining, angelic being by the name of Lucifer was up in the third heaven. The sin of pride came into his heart, and he was lifted up because of his beauty. He was corrupted because of his wisdom. He was the greatest of all musicians. He was especially created by God to hover over the throne of God, but yet when original sin was found in his heart, God could have nothing to do with him but cast him out of heaven. Lucifer came down to this earth, and his name was changed from Lucifer to Satan. Jesus Christ says that he saw Lucifer fall to the earth. We have no way of knowing the exact time this took place. It's not necessary that we know the time he was cast out. We just have the Bible fact that he was cast out. Scripture, and he, Christ, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Luke 10:18. When Lucifer fell, his name was changed. Our names usually indicate on which spiritual plane we're living, child of God or child of the devil. This indicates our degree of spirituality. You'll no doubt about to ask this question. When this anointed, especially created a beautiful angelic being who hovered over the throne of God day and night, sinned and was cast down to the earth, this must have changed his outlook somewhat. Did it make him mad? I'll say it did. Scripture, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh out, seeking on whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8 in your KJV Bible. This walketh about is going on all the time. I've never been guilty of inviting people to become Christians with the assurance that things are going to be easy. They're not. It's never been easy to live the Christian life. It's difficult. In fact, as a new convert, you will have more trouble living the Christian life than you ever had living for the devil, because you'll find, first of all, that you are put into new environments immediately with new ways of doing things, but you'll have the power of God with you at all times. As a non-Christian, when somebody hurts you, immediately you're ready to fight back. But as Christian, you don't do that. You won't fight back. As a non-Christian, when someone hits you, immediately you're ready to hit him. But you don't hit back as a Christian. The Bible says as a Christian, if someone smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Luke 6:29, KJV. You must love your enemies under all circumstances. Life is different now since you became a Christian. As Christians, we live in reverse to the normal trend. Even the Son of God, when he hung on the cross, there was 5 major wounds in his body. His blood and physical life slowly ebbed away. Could have been called 10,000 angels, and they would have come and set him free. Yet, amidst all this potent power available, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34, KJV. We live also in the spiritual world. Don't get the idea that this is just a physical world. It's also spiritual, and we're up against tremendous spiritual odds. The combined forces of hell are against every child of God. Bible says the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8 in your KJV Bible. That's why it's absolutely necessary and so vital for us to keep ourselves constantly fortified with spiritual strength. It's really not good to feast yourself on worldly television programs past certain limitations and subject matter. It's not good to read certain magazines on the newsstands, because anything that doesn't build you up spiritually tears you down spiritually. Think that statement over very carefully. We need all the building up, all the undergirding, all of the strengthening we can possibly acquire, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is determined to put God out of business. This is the overall objective of Satan. He can be seen on every hand. Satan is gradually gathering the armies of this world for Armageddon. The governments of the world are being prepared so they can come together into a one-world government. Prophecy is being fulfilled, and the signs of the times are overwhelming evidence. The fact that we're living in the last days, everything is pointing toward an eventual clash between Christ and Antichrist, Satan incarnate. Revelation 13:2, KJV. Now, Scripture, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, exalt my throne before the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the ends of the north. I will see above the heights of the clouds. I, Satan, will be like the Most High God. Isaiah 14:12-14. Let's look at Satan's enormous power. If you don't think he's powerful, let's see what God's word says. First of all, he's permitted to test Christians. Scripture. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. We said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job?
There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and Satan answered the Lord. And said, doth Job fear or serve God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and for all that he had half on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, Job 1:6-12. You know the story. Job lost his children, his house, his possessions, everything was gone. He was sitting outside of the city, covered with boils from the top of his head, the bottoms of his feet. His wife came, and there he was in excruciating pain under extenuating circumstances. She said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 13:15, KJV. Satan is also the prince of this world. Some people don't know this, and I'm amazed at the politicians who go into office and immediately they begin to make plans to change the whole world. They don't realize that Satan is the prince of this world. The politicians usually do what Satan wants done. Scripture, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, Satan, be cast out. That's John 12:31. John tells us the power of the wicked world system is to in Satan's control, Scripture. And we know that we are of God and the whole earth lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5:19. The prince of this world has tremendous control of the world. Profit and loss are not of God. God never intended that man should make a profit. God intended that man should live on the farm and have every need met from the soil, Genesis 2:8-9. Satan is allowed to test Christians because he is the prince of this world. Satan is also the accuser of the brethren. A lot of people don't know this. Up in heaven, there's a courtroom scene going on all the time. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Satan has access to heaven because sin started in heaven. And heaven is contaminated because sin started there. Okay, and as Satan goes in and out of heaven and accuses the brethren who sin, Revelation 12:10. Jesus Christ is up there, is our advocate. An advocate means an attorney, and whoever one of God's children sins, immediately Satan goes up to heaven and is there. For the throne of God, he accuses the one who has sinned. Satan says, ha ha, you thought you had a great servant in this fellow who says he's a preacher. When we sin, when we fail to read our Bible, when we fail to pray, when we fail to live closer to God, we are a direct target for Satan. When we get weak in sin, then Satan goes up to heaven and has himself a holiday, accusing us before God and the inhabitants of heaven. But Jesus Christ turns to the Father and says, Father, it's true that this child of mine has sinned, but Father, I died for his sins. I died on the cross for him, and Father, I plead my blood over his sins. Father, forgive him. My friends, you know how rotten and corrupt we feel whenever we do something wrong. We look for the little hole somewhere and try to crawl in and hide. That's why the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's Isaiah 55:6, KJV. When we sin, God turns his face from us. Then we say, God, I feel terrible. God, why have you left me? God, my prayers don't seem to be going anywhere. God, help me. Jesus Christ says, Father, I died for her, or I died for him. Please forgive her, or please forgive him. Then God turns his back far toward us, and the light of his omnipotent countenance shines into our souls, and we get off of our knees saying, I'll never do that again as long as I live. Scripture. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's Revelation 12:10, KJV. Satan is clever. Satan is liable to come to you as an angel of light, and it's possible that you might be deceived if there is a principal weakness in your life. Scripture, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if Satan's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness,
whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, KJV. There's a great spiritual battle going on in the world. If we could put on spiritual glasses so we could see the spiritual world around us, we would all be frightened. Tremendous spiritual beings are all around us now. The forces of hell are standing around searching like an angry mob trying to get at one of us, but the embracing power of God saves their hand and won't let them get away, one of us. How are you as an individual going to be able to resist Satan? Satan who controls empires, Satan who has altered the course of world history. Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. It's the only way we as Christian men, women, or young people can successfully resist Satan. Scripture, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Ephesians 6, 13. First of all, have your loins girt about with truth, Scripture, and having your loins girt about with truth, as Ephesians 6, 14, KJV. Always tell the truth, regardless of the circumstances. You say, Ruth, as a Christian woman, I can't tell the truth all the time. As a Christian real estate agent, I can't tell the truth all the time. As a Christian school teacher, I can't tell the truth all the time, because if I tell the truth all the time, it brings on many conflicting complications. I'd much rather have conflicting complications by telling the truth and the favor of God than to tell a deliberate lie and get the indignant condemnation of God. Always tell the truth, because the truth will set you free. Amen. Okay, Scripture. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14, KJV. Always do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. You say, well, it was rather an embarrassing situation. If I had done the right thing, I would have been considered an old fogey. Well, I'd rather be considered an old fogey and do the right thing than do the wrong thing and bear a poor testimony for the Lord. You see, I would have lost friends. Well, they weren't your friends if telling the truth would cause you to lose them. Next, we're here to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Scripture, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is Ephesians 6 and verse 15, KJV. In other words, everywhere you go, go in peace. Let it be with God's blessing. It's marvelous how some people can go into a violent storm and immediately they find peace. Next piece of armor is the shield of faith. Scripture, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked or Satan. That's Ephesians 6, 16, KJV. The shield of faith enables you to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, having on this shield of faith, while those fiery darts or evil thoughts of Satan's come, they hit the shield and bounce off. You say, Sister Ruth, is it a sin to have bad thoughts? No, because in the sweetest moment of your day, possibly when you're on your knees, having just read portions of God's word, and you are in a deep meditating prayer with God, you can almost reach out and touch him, and evil thoughts all come into your mind. It's not a sin for them to come into your mind. It's a sin if you keep them there. It's sin if you nurture them. It's sin if you feed them and let them grow and become monsters. You can keep the birds from flying over you, but you can surely stop them from resting on your head, building a nest in your hair, laying eggs, and raising a family. Evil thoughts come into my mind, and I would do that. Those evil thoughts tell me I wouldn't be a teacher of Bible prophecy today. We can't let them stay there. One of the best ways I know to get rid of evil thoughts is to grab your Bible and start reading and praying and saying, God, you know I don't want to be that kind of a person. God, you know I don't want to think that evil thought. Help me to get it out of my mind. Almost immediately, you'll feel the subsidifying effect of the Holy Spirit, just like a warm wave of heat penetrating your body. You'll feel his comfort, his solace come over your whole body, and you'll be able to say, Lord, what an experience. Thank you, God, for delivering me. Scripture, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17, KJV. Now we have every piece of God's armor. When Satan comes to attack us, we just stand there and look him right in the eye. He makes big, loud boasts. We just stand and look him in the eye. If he says, I'm going to blow your little house down. We just look them in the eye. You see, we stand in the strength of God. Do you know where some weak Christians make their fatal mistake? They turn their backs to him like they're doing in going to a run, and the moment they turn their back, they expose a portion of their bodies, which is not covered with the whole armor of God. There's no armor for the back. The armor covers only the front of the body. Word of God says, "You after you have put on the whole armor, then you are to face Satan. Stand still, resist him, look up in the sky, or look up, yeah, look him in the eye. Pose him in the power of God and the Holy Spirit, and he'll flee from you." Scripture, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's James 4, 7, KJV. Are you afraid of Satan? Yes, but I'm like the little girl who ran home from school one evening. The bully of the local school had chased her all over her breast because he was running as fast as he could. Yes, he got inside the front gate. He yelled, "Ma!" His ma heard him and ran out to the front porch. He ran up the steps into his mother's arms, all embedded in her apron. And then he looked back at the big bully and said, "Boo, you big bully." He made up fun of the bully before he was safe. But because he was safe, says his ma, she would protect him. Sure, I made fun of Satan. Sometimes I say to Satan, "Boo, you big Satan." But I feel around and I feel God. Sure, God is there. As long as I have on the whole armor, I'm not afraid of Satan. God will protect me. Satan is the one who interrupts our lives. Satan is the one who just causes all of our obstacles. Satan is the one who creates a spirit of understanding. Satan is the one who causes us to hurt people, because before we ever weigh and analyze our words, Satan will love an attempt to interrupt God's work. And he's not only able to be so, as long as we're willing to come to God and daily put on the whole armor of God. Every morning when you get up, first thing you do, read the word and put on the whole armor of God. Reading the word and praying at least 15 minutes a day, early in the morning, before you go out and expose to the world, before you go out and rub elbows with the atheist and the ungodly, the agnostic and the hypocrite, and those who are distressed spiritually, will strengthen you against God's archenemy. If you do, you can look for the devil in the eye and say, "Whoa, you big devil, because you've got on the whole armor of God," and you'll be able to successfully resist God's archenemy. So we're up to next one is 7 sure tests of false prophets.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that information about God's archenemy. Amen. But right now we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and some station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah, we're back, and it's that time to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. Press number 1, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your personal views on drinking?
especially after everything we've discussed thus far about the evils of drinking, those who have did drink in the Bible, those who did not drink in the Bible. What is your personal views on drinking? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right, and who do we got with us, Ruth?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
Okay. So, obviously, we lost Emily and Six.
It's true.
Okay. Well, we'll let you start, Earthy. What are your views on drinking?
I think it's sinful to overdrink or, you know, to excess and be temperate in all things according to the Word of God. I can't remember exactly what the scripture is, but also wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. All that stuff's in, I think it's someplace in Psalms.
No, that's Proverbs. That's
okay,
Proverbs.
Okay.
Okay.
And, go ahead.
Well, actually, you're headed in the right direction the way I see it in my own views because of coming from what we've studied thus far. See, even though when you're a drunkard, and the Bible does say the problem with drinking and alcohol, that it is strong drink, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, Proverbs 21:1. Chapter 20, verse 1, and then it goes on to say, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath redness of eyes, and notice it says, they that tarry long at the wine, and they that seek after mixed wine, okay? So it's those that are drunkards that tarry long at the wine, and as it says, Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us, they that are drunkards and are drunk and to excess. As you mentioned, be temperate in all things is the key here. You can't be temperate if you're drunk and if you go to excess. So my views is God never said nothing about the person who drank very little. He never had a problem with those. There was people who drank very little and they never had a problem. God never said nothing against those. But those who were drunkards, he had a big issue with them in the scripture, is what we've seen so far. So, and as we're about to see, starting next week, we're going to find many places where he actually encouraged drinking. He encouraged drinking. So we're going to find out what the Bible has to say about that. So, obviously, when people read the whole Bible, not for what they want it to say, but for what it really says, they find that there is alcohol drinking in the Bible, but there's a balance. God does not want us to be drunken, but he does allow for drinking. There's a big difference. All right. Well, with that, Ruthie, we're going to let you give us a closing prayer, and then we'll close out with a Red Sylvine song.
Well, Lord, I want to pray for people who do have a problem with drinking, and you can help them. I believe you can. You got mail, sweetheart, so I think you'll take care of it. We just want to praise your name for the program. I hope somebody had a good time, got saved or healed, whatever. I know you got the power to do all those, and we just love you so much, Lord.
Amen. And we do want to remind those out there who are listening that do have a problem with drinking, we are not encouraging you to go back and take just one sip because we know that you have a temptation that it's not wise for you to go after that first sip, especially if it's such a temptation for you to end up as a drunkard. You know where your limitations are. So for each listener, they know their limitations, and that's where you have to know your limitations, etc. All right, and now we're going to go into our Red Sylvine song and remind everybody that we'll catch us again on this coming Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show at 1 p.m. Of course, our open programming tomorrow, and then Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We'll catch you then, and then, of course, throughout the week of this coming week. All right, God bless.
like last time when the feathers flew. You're running wild and picking up your heels, leaving me home with a handful of bills. I can't live without you when you know it's true, but there's no living with you, so what'll I do? I'm going honky-tonk and get as tight as I can. Maybe by then you'll appreciate a good man. Feeling for the knob on the door.